Welcome to a Tuesday morning. Great to be back. Sandy in the house. Thanks to Abe and Drew Butler for handling the steakhouse yesterday. It will be an act of 2 hours, I can tell you, just based on our pre-show meeting and just based on last night and all the stories and trials and tribulations that we're bringing to the table. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning. Another glorious day in the mix today. The weather is perfection.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is what I like if you live in, I don't know, one of those perfect climate towns where it doesn't get too humid. And
like San Diego.
Like 60s and 70s. And
yeah.
I can say that last night at the ballpark might have been the most ideal weather conditions. Went to the Braves. My son graduated middle school yesterday, and there was a big event.
So what does that look like? What is a big event for the middle school?
I mean, you're in the gym.
And that's
a speaker.
What, sixth grade?
That's eighth grade.
All right.
Sixth grade's elementary school. Eighth grade is middle school. High school starts in ninth grade.
What about when you were small?
Yeah, same thing. Junior high is, what do you mean?
Junior high for me was 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Like middle school was 6 by itself. 1 through 5 was elementary.
What you just considered junior high is middle school now. It's
okay.
Called. Me and you grew up, I call it junior high. No one knows what that means. So that's middle.
Okay.
All right? So it was a middle school graduation and a speaking deal. And then the mommies had a lunch. And then last night we all went to the Braves game, as you already know.
Mm-hmm.
We were all out at the Braves on a Monday night. So there was like 40 kids and 60 adults, and we were sitting out in the left field bleachers. It was quite an evening.
I'll say it was, because you know what my husband and I were doing on the couch? Watching every pitch with such emotion and such stress, because A.J. Smith-Shawver comes out and just deals last night, taking that no-hitter into the eighth. Everybody's on pins and needles. And, you know,
he was 5 outs away? Is that what it was?
Well, the first pitch in the eighth.
So he's
yeah.
6 outs.
When did you tweet this? And that's basically when it happened.
We're at section 145 on left field.
We're all like,
we got to hear the ladies.
Yeah.
Hello. We got a no-hitter going at Truist Park, a no-hitter. We're 9 outs away.
I just can't.
Let's go.
Oh, okay. If my father were in this room right now, he would be using curse words and for crying out loudish. I wouldn't even, like Larry went up to get something in the kitchen. I go, what are you doing? You can't move. Superstition in baseball, you cannot even say it out loud. Tom Glavine and Brandon Gaudin knew the assignment. They didn't really mention it at all. At all. What would make you do that?
Well, let me say this. I've been through a long, illustrious career here in Atlanta, right?
Uh-huh.
There's been scandals.
Mm-hmm.
We had a major incident where my co-host basically got us fired. That was myself, Domino, and then the other guy that did something we had nothing to do with. But that met with a firing and a lot of vitriol. There have been other moments where I've said dumb things on the air. I don't know that I've ever had the nastiness, the vitriol, the contentiousness of which my social media blew up last night with that little video where I was started fairly harmless. I thought, you know, there were people all around. I was trying to say the difference in watch sitting out in left field and sometimes sitting closer. And let me just say to my defense, I said that. We got out of the inning. It was 3 more outs. I did not. To me, jinxing would have been the next batter or that inning.
But do you know the rules of?
If I'm doing the broadcast.
No. If anybody, there's a reason. Like from the 5th inning on, A.J. Smith-Shawver said they kind of figured it out in the 5th, and he said nobody talked to him in the 6th. Nobody talked to him in the 7th. Like he knew what was going on.
I understand.
The broadcast didn't mention it.
I'm
like
out
you
in
just
the bleachers.
Know better. It doesn't matter. Like you can't.
And
you know what? Did you even notice that nobody was texting in amongst our group? Me, Rusty, Drew. Nobody said a word on purpose. As much as I was like, oh, I hope they see
so
what's
going
on.
So how quickly did you guys turn on me when I said we had
well,
a
you got
no-hitter.
My text. I go, thanks for ruining the entire no-hitter. So good job. And then Rusty just put his big stakeout. And then today, Rusty's coming on. He said he's not talking to you. Rusty Mansell, 940. about Jared Curtis and all that. And he goes, I mean, he's not talking to you. So obviously it's in jest.
No,
but
it's
you
not,
can't, I just, like, I believe in that kind of stuff.
We got there out of the inning, but it was that was the seventh. I can totally understand
if we didn't get a no-hitter.
No, but it was 20 minutes after I said it.
Doesn't matter. You can't do
it. A jinx doesn't last for 20, 25 minutes.
Can't do it.
Bo, is there any element that because I said it in the seventh, which was a kind of a dumb thing to say. I agree with that. But I survived it because three outs and we're out of the seventh. It's not like I came on again. Is there anything to there was a 20-minute interval between it?
So the superstition people aren't big fans of me because I'm a believer in science, and no one human being can change the outcome of anything that happens in the world. We are so insignificant in this universe.
Right.
It's nuts. So, no, you're completely in the right. You don't have to stay in the bathroom if there's something, you hear somebody scoring a run on the speaker. You can talk about it. We're not going to change anything.
So you said
not a believer.
You said you got it. Well, you're not a believer in general, then. So you would. Yeah,
tell me what's going on in that bar. Tell me what's going on underneath.
Oh, people are nuts. Right. It's so much fun. People are nuts.
That's right.
They're like, oh my God, don't move.
You can't move where you are. That's the rule.
Did they sit there for through the sixth and seventh?
There are people that will stand there.
I mean, I'll be honest. Part of it is when you're out in the outfield like that, is that it wasn't until the fourth or the fifth. Where I was like, I was trying to get Bobby to pay attention. I was like, Bobby, they don't have a hit yet, the Reds, okay? So just pay attention for a second. And none of those kids even recognize it. The game was—it was like a Greg Maddux game.
Oh, it was fantastic. 2 hours and 9 minutes.
I've never seen anything like
it.
It
was the greatest thing ever.
So like we all
for sure was over at like 9:30.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
We're all looking at each other like, dude, this thing is moving fast. So I would just argue, I'm not trying to not take heat for coming on and saying that. And again, I was just, there was a lot going on. I lost my wallet at the game, and I was super out of sorts with that. Then I'm trying to keep track of my kid. Then I see there's a no-hitter going, and I made that tweet. And we got out of the seventh. That's all
Doesn't
I'm
matter.
Saying.
We got out of the inning. No, that's not the rule. Next, do better. Just, I know you a long time. I'm talking to you as your friend. Knock it off. Don't do it. And my dad would say, for crying out loud.
I said it. 20 minutes later, we still had a no-hitter.
I don't know where you heard that. You can do it as long as you have 20 minutes.
Well,
nobody
said
that. Not one of his teammates did it 20 minutes. Not one of his teammates came into in the dugout in the sixth or the seventh. You can't do it. That's the rule. That's the rule.
Well, I get all the superstitions, and I believe in I just believe in superstitions. Not that I think they're real, but I just, I thought of it when I said it, and I go, oh, and then we got out of the seventh, and I was like, whew, I survived that one. And then it happened afterward. But we can continue to talk. You want to call and rip into me, we'll do that later on as well.
No, I think you've learned already. I don't mean to stir it up more, but you just it just irritated me, something fierce.
I'm sure that it did.
Bigger story, Braves win. 4-0, the shutout. A.J. Smith-Shawver's final line, 8 innings pitched, gave up 1 hit. 4 walks. He did have a couple of them early on in the inning. Struck out 5. He had 99 pitches. 60 were for strikes. The bigger story, though, and it was so awful, Tyler Callahan, playing left field for the Reds, goes head first, arm first, as fast as he can be running to try to catch a fly ball from Matt Olson. And they end up, it was just awful.
Yeah, let's just push that off because we got a bunch of reaction to that. And that was right in front of me in the left field bleachers.
Oh, my God.
So we'll hear from Terry Francona and Brian Snicker. We'll also hear more from the manager on A.J. Smith-Shawver. Man, did we need a dub last night. We certainly needed it on Sunday night. A very important 2-game winning streak for the Braves. But we got other stuff to get to over the next 60 seconds.
7:15 tonight, Chris Sale, Andrew Abbott on the mound, Braves and Reds. Jared Curtis, the number one quarterback, the number two recruit overall in the country. It came down to Oregon and Georgia last night at 5:30. Rusty Mansell was live on their website, and yep, Jared Curtis is going to be a Georgia Bulldog. And by the way, sidebar, good luck getting that Hollister old school Georgia t-shirt. That was the greatest thing ever. That's getting a lot of play. We'll hear from Rusty at 9:40. Your NBA last night, who would have thunk it? The Knicks win and the Nuggets win, losing to the favorite. So you're stealing one on the road. We'll begin with the Celtics. Why in the wide world of sports were the Celtics They 60 attempts for three. They only made 15, which means you missed 45 three-pointers.
Yeah, you missed 45. You shot 25% from three. The Knicks, the biggest comeback in their playoff history, they were down by 20 in the third, and somehow they had a six-point lead in the fourth. Celtics had to come back to do that. And then the Knicks in overtime, we'll talk about Knicks fans losing their mind today at how big a win that was. And then everybody's like, Denver's had one day to rest. They played game seven. Oklahoma City had 6 days, and Oklahoma City loses their game as well. That was pretty wild.
121-119 in overtime. Jokic, 42 points, 22 rebounds. Much more in the NBA a little bit later.
All right, good stuff. When we come back, it was a interesting night at the ballpark, not just because I jinxed the Braves, according to Sandy and so many others, but also kind of what the best, truest, and the battery has to offer. And why a young man was clearly a rookie and did everything he could for his team but made a really bad decision. We'll talk about the moment that everybody, other than the no-hit stuff, that everybody's talking about from last night. We got a busy, busy show ahead. Dog fans especially, NBA fans, all kinds of stuff coming up. And things like that! Sports Radio 929. Night 23 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Lots to get to in the course of a Tuesday morning. Georgia wins big on the recruiting trail. There's all kinds of things going on with the government and NIL and regulations, and it's very hard for me to keep up with. I'm not that smart, you know. I just go eat, like, you know, quesadillas and tacos on Cinco de Mayo. I can't keep up with all the
Where did you eat at the Battery last night for Cinco de Mayo?
Well, I didn't do Cinco de Battery. I went for lunch yesterday. I did a video. Have you seen this Real Tacos, which is all over Atlanta now? There's like five or six of them. So I went to the Real Tacos in Midtown that was packed at 115, and I had a combination of a taco and a burrito. And I had never been to Real Tacos, and it's just they're opening everywhere, and they lean.
So what's the premise? Like, what's the difference in that place?
It's just a Mexican joint that they lean in heavy on the holidays. So every one of those is a pop-up place over Christmas. Every one of them has a massive Cinco setup, right? Any holiday, it's even Easter or whatever, these owners have put in a bunch of money to, like, make it more festive. And they're always packed. So I was like, I got to check out one at Midtown for Cinco. And there was a line out the door in the middle of Midtown. So that was my food review. That video went fine. You know, I got the typical hate about how I was chewing and all that stuff. But that's fine. And then it was the thing at the game when I announced as a no-hitter after the sixth inning. We get through the seventh. Gets into the eighth. They blow it. And most of my friends aren't talking to me. Sandra's forced to because I work with her. So there's that. And then just in general, a night at the ballpark, which was, I will say this, it was the most spectacular weather.
Perfect.
Was not crowded last night after the Dodgers series. I talked to a lot of people down there at the Braves and around the Battery. It was a hectic weekend with the weather because those storms were coming in and out. Mm-hmm. They lost a lot of folks, obviously, on Saturday where they got the game in. They got smoked 10-3. They got the game in on Friday. Sunday was awesome. Crowd was amazing. So they made a ton of money on Sunday night, but the other two nights they definitely got hurt.
Yeah,
to have
shame.
The Dodgers in town and not be able to take advantage. And then last night it was not a crowded night because it was kind of like a sleepy Monday night coming off of that. There's all kinds of things going on in town for people wrapping up. There's tournament games and there's high school grads and there's college and all
Mama's
these different
Day's
things.
Mama's Day's coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was a lot of opportunity to be down there last night. And you know, we're lucky enough we sit in some great seats sometimes. Last night I sat on the bleachers. Totally different experience. A lot of fun. You are not as dialed into the game. Game is farther away from you. It feels a little bit different, right?
Right.
Out there, it's almost like a party. You know, I went through that back outfield section now where they have the new, I forget what it's called.
Like the food hall thing?
Yes.
Yeah, how is that?
It was nice. You had like Grindhouse Killer Burgers and a great place called Slice and, you know, a whole little food court thing happening. And there it's more about the festivity. I think the closer you are, you know, the more dialed in. But it was a perfect night for baseball. I will tell you this. We'll get to Tyler Callahan in a second. But A.J. Smith-Sarver's stuff was real. It was impressive. And is this him talking about his own fastball and how it was cooking last night?
I feel like I used my heater pretty well today. I feel like I had good results on it all day. And then it was curveball splitter, really, just kind of leaning on that and getting myself into good counts and getting myself out of bad counts. But I thought everything was kind of working today.
I love listening to Tom Glavine in the booth, and I know, Stick, you were at the game, but Tom hasn't been in there in a while, and when he just starts breaking down pitching, there is him and John Smoltz, but he said, and a very tongue firmly planted in cheek, funny things can happen when you're working with your fastball. Like, good things are going to happen,
yeah,
and that's
strikes,
what's
happened. Get ahead on the count. Yeah. Very, very low pitch count, which is why he would have been out there if they had a chance for a no-no in the ninth. This is not a 130-pitch night where you would have been pressing him. He was very, you know, he was a great conservation in terms of pitch count, which was great. Brian Snicker talking about, you know, what that meant last night for him and the team to go out there as a young pitcher.
Yeah. I mean, like I just keep saying, he's learning on the job. And this is a really great experience, learning experience for him tonight to feel that. I don't know that he's ever touched the eighth inning, you know, here. So it's good for him.
He's never. He said it in his presser. He's never pitched into the eighth inning. And when Snicker went over after he was done, he said, you're at 99. And had you had the no-no, literally we were going to look at 120. So they kind of already knew in their heads what was going to go down. And Stake, also, when you hear the guys in the locker room, clubhouse after, this is Nick Allen, this is Austin Riley, this is Michael Harris, they all say the maturity that they've watched him over the last couple of years, from literally pitching in at the playoffs to getting sent down, and adversity reveals character. And now, the last two starts, he belongs.
I heard a whole bit that Glavine and Smoltz, I think Smoltz was talking about it, where he's like, listen, when I came up and Tommy came up, we were given our opportunity to just get our starts and figure it out. There is such a revolving door, and it's not just the Braves and Gwinnett. It's all these teams now. You get called up. You have two bad starts. You get sent back down. You need a spot starter, so you come up, or you have a bullpen game. It's not like you're thrown in there and you are going to learn to pitch at the big league level. Mm-mm. You are just going to learn. You are going to have an outing when you go 2 2/3. You're going to have an outing when you go 7 innings. But both Glavine and Smoltz went through rough initial seasons. That's where they learned to pitch in the bigs. There is not the patience now. A.J. Smith-Sharver is part of it, has had to deal with that, going up and down and realizing I'm not just going to get plugged in. But last night was a great sign for the Braves to see him step up. What was pretty amazing from where I was sitting was the Olsen hit in the, was it the third?
Third. Bottom of the third.
So Tyler Callahan is right in front of us, and I see him sprinting full speed and then disappear. And then it looked like, folks, because there was no cheering, so.
Oh, it was a gasp. You could hear the gasp.
Well, before that, it was looked like he caught it. So, like, right there, it wasn't like. He looked like it was going to be down the line, and then it's like, oh, he caught it, and then he didn't, and then all of a sudden nobody knew what was going on. But I remember thinking, if that guy just made that catch because he disappeared in that corner, I said that guy was running full speed. Full speed. It's right in front of me. I watched the whole thing. There was no letting up at all. It's his fourth game in the big leagues. There was no getting close and trying to stick your glove out. It was for good reason. Not seen on the in-stadium replay but once, and then they realized how ugly the broken, multiple broken bones, right?
Or the whole forearm, multiple places, yeah.
I mean, that's a kid that was trying to do everything possible in a 2-0 game to establish himself. Here's Brian Snicker talking about what did they see from his vantage point.
No, it doesn't. I mean, everybody feels bad for the kid, young man, but – you know, it's you know, they like I said, they feel bad for him and wish the best for him. But, you know, then you got to go on and play the game.
Okay, that was him talking about how it affected his team.
Sure. But there was a hush that it looked like was falling over the Reds and even the Braves players. Matt Olson's face, he was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there was
no
celebrating inside
absolutely.
The park homer.
Right.
What did Snit actually see, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, God, I just hope he's okay. And It's nothing, you know, serious, and I hate it for the kid. My God, all he's doing is he's just laying it out there for his club. And, yeah, I you know what? I just looked at the wreck he had with the wall, and then I did see the ball. I you know, the umpire made a call that, you know, it was loose. I wasn't even aware of it till he did that and then saw it. And, you know, we just, Matt kept going, so that's good.
Terry Francona is his manager. He knows what Brian Snitker knows, which is here's a young player that is putting it all out there because he's trying to stick in the big leagues, and he's trying to show he'll do whatever it takes. And somewhere his parents were maybe in the stands for his debut 4 games ago or whatever it was. But here's Terry Francona, who has managed a lot of major league teams, won a championship, and he knows what it's like to be a young player in that situation.
There's no good way to explain. I mean, the kid is running full blast, trying to do everything he can to save that, you know, save runs. So we'll get him fixed up. I mean, he's young, and he'll be okay. It's just gonna, you know, it's gonna take a little while.
Yeah.
And that whole presser, he was clearly shook a little. I mean, that
it's
was
amazing
brutal.
That Terry Francona is still managed.
I know, right? Did anybody remember that he was with the Reds? Also, Twitter, you're adorable. There was no place in the world for y'all to say that Matt Olson should not have run home. Like, what are you talking about? What is happening hit the keys to say something? Like, do you not know how baseball works?
I mean,
drop the ball. It doesn't matter. They don't care. I don't care that he's hurt.
Is that their first time watching a baseball game?
Oh, my Lord. Stop.
I'm sorry.
Crazy.
That's still a live ball in Little League, by the way. Like, who?
Tell them, Bo. Tell
like
them.
The ball I don't even know, but I mean,
nobody who.
Yeah, everybody kneel.
Nobody who's a baseball fan would say that. I mean, that's just some idiot. Like, idiots just like, he can't keep running. You know, this is professional baseball. It's called professional baseball. Like Bo said, we're not all going to take a knee, right, and then give the big round of applause. I mean, maybe, you know, there was a light round of applause as he's coming off. But
no, it was scary.
That was the most blatant explosion.
I was wondering where you were, your vantage
like
point,
right
to
under
see
the,
that.
I mean, he just disappeared from view.
Yeah.
And I'm you know, I'm not a genius, but I was like, there's no way.
Right.
You can't run full speed into a wall. Like, you know, that's like a quarterback. You know, they say, well, that guy's running full speed and hits a quarterback. This is different. He's the one running full speed. It's like him running full speed and running into like a linebacker that's not moving. I mean, just exploded that, what is it, the forearm area and everything. It was just it was a wild night, you know. I know.
And where is Steak's wallet? We still haven't got to the bottom of that. I mean, there's a lot. Steak lost
the wallet. And I just saw it. I saw it in.
You saw it? Saw it. He saw it.
I have one of those.
Apple AirTags, the greatest thing ever. So it's at the stadium.
I will
Somebody's
say this,
turned it
the
in.
The security
I'm sure.
people were so friggin' nice.
Aww,
they were
awesome.
So helpful. And they like, I was like, dude, don't worry about it. We'll find it. Or, you know, it's only things. I'll get through it. It's only things I learned. but it's sitting there somewhere at some security desk because that's the beauty of that, those tags. Anyways, when we come back, Jared Curtis is as big a signing as the Dogs have had in a long time. What does this mean for the quarterbacks already in Athens? And what does this mean for another huge offensive lineman they're trying to get done as well? Rusty Manziel joins us. He'll talk to Sandra. He's still mad at me on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, I have wise guys in here, Barney.
Hey, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you are on the Odyssey app on a regular basis. All kinds of great stuff. Also on social media. Sometimes we even say like things that are fairly compelling. I was on social yesterday on our Instagram. We were replaying me and Rusty talking about, I don't want Kirk Cousins moved. I want a backup quarterback that we can't have the excuse. God forbid, for some reason, Michael Penix can't go at some point in time that we didn't have a good backup and otherwise we would have had a great year. I don't think you'll get enough back for Kirk Cousins to warrant not having maybe the best backup quarterback in the NFL, especially when your backup ends up playing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of thing where they cut it up. They put it on the Odyssey app. You get a chance to listen to the entire thing if you want that as well. Follow us on social media and follow along with the Odyssey app. It's the best app in the business, and it makes you can listen to our show absolutely anytime. And folks love that. You go on your walk later on in the day. Maybe you're not listening at 9 to 11 because, I don't know, you got this thing called work. Or whatever. You're not supposed to be, you're supposed to be doing something else. So make sure you're a part of that as well. Where were you all weekend, by the way? You were in town?
Enjoying life at the lake. It was absolutely beautiful for the most part. We didn't get the rain that you guys got. So boating, floating, enjoying life.
Yeah.
Heading to Panama City for Mommy's Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mother's Day on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got a graduation party we're hosting for Miss Nola on Saturday. Mother's Day on Sunday. Then the actual graduation. There's a lot going on this time of year.
Yeah.
Before,
great.
Like, everybody kind of disperses, right? Before everybody kind of does their thing. All right, you want to talk to our next guest?
Hi, Rusty Mansell joins us here for the tailgate, which is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Door. Rusty, you and I can talk because I don't know what Steak was thinking. Doesn't he should know better not to jinx a no-no.
When I tell you, I can't even, I don't, we got 30 minutes. I mean, Let me say this, Sandra. This is you and I conversation. This is A&B conversation.
That's right.
One of our loyal listeners, somebody that we love and we think is a five-star, Miss Kimberly Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
You think she's ever woke up and been like, I'm so disappointed in Steak ever in their marriage? Well, I did this morning for the first time in a long time. I am utterly in shock. You don't talk about the damn Fight Club when you're in the Fight Club.
Yeah, I don't know where he got
There's
this whole...
There's no time limit on a baseball
game. Yeah, I don't
where
know
in the hell did that come up at? When did he make that up?
My point was, I mentioned it after the sixth.
Don't.
It didn't happen until the eighth. We got through
Eat
the inning.
Today. Eat a sandwich, make a video. I'm proud of you. I love you. I don't love you today, though.
All right.
I'm not going to ask you the obvious questions that we've heard. Jared Curtis, number one guy. They've been recruiting him. Take me back... So was it 22 or 23 when Todd Monken finds this kid?
Well, it's interesting because at the end of his freshman year, June of 2022, he comes to Georgia. A lot of kids at that age are starting to ramp up. He throws for Todd Monken, Buster Faulkner, and Mike Bobo. All three are there that day. At that point, he becomes a prospect on Georgia's board. Now, if you fast forward, he did not get an offer that day, but he became someone they wanted to keep an eye on. If you fast forward to January of 2023, Mike Bobo becomes the offensive coordinator. Mike Bobo flies to Nashville, and he offers the kid on the spot after watching him throw that morning and a practice session up there. So, you know, this is a kid that was on their board, obviously, but when you look at January of 2023, 2 years ago, is really when Bobo kind of planted his flag, like, I'm on this guy. I'm all in on this guy early on. And ultimately, a lot of, you know, ups and downs through this. But yesterday, the consistency, and I think that early offer and showing his family that, hey, this is somebody that we really like, and we're going to recruit your son. I think it paid off, especially with the family. I'm telling you right now, that family let that kid make a decision, as much as I know, but I do know this. They definitely prefer Georgia at the end of this.
Wow.
Rusty Mansell with us. You've been covering this a lot longer than I have, but I have been around just enough to be dangerous. We interviewed Matthew Stafford as a 17-year-old when he made his decision.
Yeah.
That at the time, I guess, was one of the big ones. Quincy Carter showed up in Athens after his flirtation with baseball and deciding not to go to Tech, and that turned into three or four quarterbacks leaving because it was so obvious that Quincy was the next level. Jacob Eason was the number one recruit in the country. So Georgia's not, you know, this is not a first-time rodeo for Georgia, but any others or is this any – how much different from those situations I just mentioned?
It's totally different now because, I mean, you know, you look at the roster and – you know, guy, even Gunnar Stockton has multiple years left. You look at Ryan Pugliese, who has four more, with a red shirt. You know, and all these guys are going to battle, but they're not going to be there. Like, somebody's going to win this job. And, you know, Gunnar Stockton likely will be gone by the time. This is going to wind up at some point, going to wind up coming down, probably a Ryan Pugliese, Jared Curtis type deal at some point. But, it's such a different day and age. You can leave now. So what you're talking about in 1998 was definitely unique. I mean, like Quincy Carter ran four guys off, like, and that was the day and age where you didn't do that. So, you know, this is a little bit different. And listen, there's also portal quarterbacks. And for everything that Georgia had going on this year, Kirby Smart tried to sign two of them in January and didn't get either one of them. So you don't rule out portal guys too that's going to be involved in this mix down the line. Such a different day and age. This kid, you know, I don't like to do that type of comparison. People that know my work, I don't like to try to put that on there. But obviously, with the arm strength, you have to look at him and say, this is Matt Stafford. And why I like that comparison, this kid's about 6'3". He's like 220, big, big, strong kid. You know, pretty athletic guy, not a statue. And I think that's one of the things that kind of hurt Jacob Beeson was he couldn't really move around. He had this huge arm. He's 6'6", a great kid. Couldn't really move. But you look at Jared Curtis, I think he had 18 rushing touchdowns last year. You know, I get all these comparisons like, hey, you know, he's not playing great competition. Well, I went up there and saw it. I had to go see it myself. So I went up there and I saw it. I've been around a long time. It's not Grayson. It's not Buford. It's not Milton. But nobody questioned Arch Manning playing in a small private league in New Orleans. Mm. I've seen that league, and I've seen the league that Jared Curtis plays in. I can assure you that Jared Curtis, who is a similarly ranked player, Arch Manning, very similar ranked as Jared Curtis, number one quarterbacks in the country. Jared Curtis played in a lot better league than Arch Manning played in. So let's dial that down about the competition factor.
Nashville Christian numbers are 40 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He also ran for another 637 yards and 18 touchdowns on the ground, Rusty.
Yeah, pretty athletic. Now, you know, he's going to be able to – he's going to be, if you watch his highlights, that's the one thing you kind of – if he excites you, that's the one thing. He's outside the pocket. I watched him that day, and I was like, man, this kid's got a live arm, but can he move? Because he's a big dude in person. He's got broad shoulders. He is every bit of 220. And this is a yoked-up kid, but you look at him, and he's athletic enough to be able to move. You got to be able to extend plays. You don't have to be Mike Vick. Those are few and far between, but you have to be able to move off your spot and extend plays. I'm very confident he can do that. Ryan Puglisi can do the same thing. So, you know, these are athletic guys with big arms. A lot of battles will be played out down the field, but when you look at Jared Curtis, the skill set, the tool bag, I talked to a lot of people in the country, because I was very curious myself the last month. I talked to a lot of people outside of Georgia market, and everybody was consistent, was this is the guy in this class. This is the one. There's really good depth in this class at quarterback, but if you want to start with one, you start with Jared Curtis, and Mike Bobo got him yesterday.
The model of Arch sitting for 2 years as Texas tries to contend for a national title, showing a level of patience, obviously has a family that, you know, it's not like he needs right to go for the dollars or whatnot. Now, plus, he's getting paid now. What am I talking about? He's getting paid a lot of money
in
Texas.
Big NIL endorsement.
Right. Yeah. So is that the model that Georgia looks at? I mean, you know, it is interesting that Gunnar Stockton is there, but there wouldn't be the notion that he would play this kid over a veteran quarterback. I mean, give mm-hmm. me some idea of best – it's a strange thing to say. Best case scenario, or what the most likely scenario is of when Jairus Curtis is on the field in Athens and who is around him in the quarterback room?
I think 2 years from now that you'll see why he'll have the opportunity to be the starter. I don't think he anticipates coming in and playing as a freshman. You know, that's just not how this thing works. The appeal of Georgia, and I've talked to a lot of people, the appeal of Georgia is a couple of things. You know you're going to have good players around you. You know you're going to play in big-time games. You know that if you go to Georgia, you're probably going to have to wait your turn a little bit. And that's the way they've been doing it quarterback. I mean, Gunnar Stockton waited. Carson Beck waited. Hell, they tried to bench Stetson Bennett 12 times, and they finally played him. And, you know, I mean, Todd Monken basically told him in August, go home. You can't play for us. And 3 weeks later, he was the starter. So, you know, it's one of those deals where you kind of know what going into this thing what to expect. Jared Curtis didn't go into Georgia to sit around for a couple of years. And that NIL deal they signed with him, I'm pretty sure they didn't say, hey, let's wait 3 years before we play you. He's going to have his opportunity. But it's not one of those situations where I'm expecting him to come in and start as a freshman. I think Jared Curtis knows he needs to come in and learn. He'll be here next probably at the end of December. He'll start practicing with Georgia end of December. He'll go through a spring practice, you go through a fall, and then, you know, that following spring, his second spring is when you, like Ryan Puglisi, this was a very big spring for him. He took some steps forward, and I think Georgia feels a lot better. And I'll say this, Georgia didn't take a portal quarterback in this window. I was very curious if they were. That kind of tells me what they feel like with Ryan Puglisi as a backup right now going into the season with Gunnar Stockton.
All right, so now the dominoes start to fall. We're looking at Jackson Cantwell, who is, quote, tweeting stuff last night. Congratulations, Jared Curtis. And it's down to Oregon and Georgia for him as well. Big offensive lineman out of Missouri.
Yeah, Miami. This is Drew Rosenhaus's high school client. So, you know, this kid's not worried about a power bill right now. I can tell you that. When Drew Rosenhaus dips into high school, I can tell you they expect big things out of this kid. I'll say this. He was set to make his decision, I think, this week. He puts his decision off. He's going to be in Athens with his family this weekend on Mother's Day weekend for an unofficial visit, and he makes his final decision on the 13th. Oregon's involved. Miami is involved. You know, Missouri, the home state, is definitely trying to make a push there. So there's a lot of people involved. This kid had offers from everybody. I think he's got the best shot put in the United States by far. I mean, this kid could be in the Olympics. So it's one of those type guys. Georgia is definitely all in there. And Jared Curtis, you know, those two. There's no question in my mind Jackson Cantwell knew exactly where Jared Curtis was going yesterday. And Jared Curtis has probably been working him behind the scenes pretty hard. We'll see, but it doesn't hurt that Georgia's going to have him in town. Isn't it ironic, you guys, we're in sports radio. Stake, I'm with you so much. You know this statement. Wouldn't it be ironic for the 2 5 stars in this class to be landed by Stacey Searles and Mike Bobo? For as much as, you know, the offseason heat did those guys kind of take social media wise, for those two guys to go out and get it done with the nation's number one quarterback and then the nation's number one offensive tackle.
Yeah, Kirby's smart. The word smart is apropos. There's nobody that is a brighter individual that I've been around in college sports than Kirby Smart, and it's just not about sports. Stacey Searles and Mike Bobo are there, not just because they are elite recruiters, but they're elite coaches. Now, I know Bobo got a lot of love yesterday. Stacey Searles, we know what a great job he does. And I'll still take Mike Bobo over 98% of any coordinator. You can scream and yell. Rusty, I've never listened to a fan base in the history of college football that didn't talk about their play caller. That's just the job you have chosen.
We laugh about it. Jake Rowe and I were co-owners together at Dogs HQ. We laugh about it because I remember having to calm people down about Todd Monken. Like, they were dumb with this guy.
Of course.
They were absolutely, what are we doing? This guy, you know, Cleveland fired this guy. What are we doing? You know, and you know, and then all of a sudden the light cuts on when they make the move to Stetson Bennett. And next thing you know, it looks
like, I love the office. Kirby's afraid to make moves with his friends. Okay. Yeah, look at that guy's track record. If you think Kirby's worried about, you know,
and I'll give you a shout out, man, because it's public knowledge, and they made a post about it. But congratulations, his son Weston, he made a perfect SAT score, ACT, perfect.
Yeah,
ACT score.
But I mean,
Mary Beth must be really, really smart.
Mary Beth is so smart.
They come from a family where education is a huge factor.
They're great people.
That's what makes him different. Listen to the stuff that he reads and everything else. He knows how good Mike Bobo is. I just sometimes these hosts talking about Mike Bobo's play calling. Give me a break. How was his play calling 2 years ago when we were undefeated, Carson Beck, and then we didn't have Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers? Could have won a national title.
Big year. Listen, it's a big year. It's a big boy world, and I get it. And obviously that didn't set well with Georgia staff. I know it didn't set well with Kirby Smart. I know it didn't set well with Mike Bobo. Those guys want to fix those things. It's a big year for Georgia. But yesterday, it's like my man Jerry Glanville said when Deion Sanders ended that holdout. I'm a hell of a lot better coach today than I was yesterday. And Georgia's a lot better today, knowing they're going to have Jared Curtis down the line in that room.
Thank you, Rusty. When we come back, why gambling on the NBA is a dangerous proposition, and have we finally seen the undoing of the modern-day style of play? Why you can't win with that, or can you? We'll talk some hoops on Sports Radio 92.9. Oh, the New York vibe is alive and well. Good morning. It's Steak and Sandra. I don't know how much you're paying attention to the NBA playoffs, but the Knicks are a pretty big story after what they did last night, which nobody saw coming. I heard somebody saying the level of disrespect for the New York Knicks, who, by the way, played Cleveland and Boston this year, the two powerhouses, and they were 0-8, 0-9. They didn't win one game against those guys. Winless, right? So they've got one of the all-time clutch Knicks in history in Jalen Brunson. But when you are a 900, bet 100 to win. You got to bet $900 to win 100 if you had the Celtics in the series. You had to bet $900 to win $100 if you wanted to bet on the Celtics, which basically is Vegas saying the Knicks have zero chance.
Mm-hmm.
Zero chance. Now, one could argue if you take 60 threes and miss 45 of them, you might have a chance. But I'll just say for any fan base, the Knicks fan base, they're a different breed, man. I mean, you know, I'm all for giving New York a hard time. Certainly when you grow up in Boston, that's like, you know, you're supposed to be the little stepsister of New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just like a small little town, and we won all those World Series, and we're New York, and we're the Mecca and all that. And that really doesn't exist for a while. But they love basketball. I mean, they friggin' love their basketball. And, you know, they made that Karl Anthony Towns trade. They got Jalen Brunson. They put together a team, and they were down by 20 on the road in Boston and got a dub last night. So I'll tell you, I saw that girl we know, Anita Marks. I had the TV on in the office yesterday. You know Anita Marks we worked with?
I don't think I knew her.
The woman, I think she, who's the one that, well, there was Amy something when we were driving in the morning at the old radio station. She'd do 5 to 6 a.m. So she had the one-hour show, Amy Lawrence. So
Amy.
Yeah, and then there's Anita Marks. She also has done these late night. But she does the gambling stuff for ESPN Bet. And she's like, I'm taking the Knicks plus 850 in the series because that's the craziest odds ever for a really good team. And now, how you feeling? You're up 1-0 in the series. So here is Tom Thibodeau of the Knicks knowing that was a hell of an effort by New York.
We've had to endure some things with guys being out. And I think over time, that helps you. You know, you build up, you know, your mental toughness and understanding how important that is. And it's like I said, it's one game. There's a lot of, you know, emotional highs and lows in a playoff. But no matter what happens, you have to keep moving forward.
I think Tom Thibodeau was the assistant coach when the Celtics won the title with Doc Rivers. And he's been, you know, in Chicago and a few other places. Is that the opposite of poking the bear or gleeing? Or yeah. I mean, like, he literally is just like, it's a long series. I mean, dude, you just came back from 20 down. So then
I really wanted him to just sit back and go, did you guys see him make 60? They were attempting 63s.
Right.
They missed 45.
So,
wasn't
so
that
Joe
hilarious?
Mazzulla was asked the question.
I bet he was.
How did you like Boston's shot selection?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, obviously, over the course of the game, you always can find, you know, 5-10 shots that you want to be better at. But, you know, I thought throughout the night, we fought for good looks, you know, throughout the game. But, yeah, I mean, you can find 5 to 10 that we could be better at.
5 to 10. They talked 63s. Here's what I would tell you.
Five to 10 you want to be better at? You missed 45. Hi, Sandy Golden in the back. I'll hang up and listen. You missed 45. So just wondering where that was going to, you know, again, I'll hang up and listen. You missed 45. 5 to 10? Bless your heart. Are you crazy? You missed 45. You're not crazy. I don't mean that.
They missed
45. It just doesn't make sense. I literally said to Steak when he walked in, what was that game plan? 60 threes.
They're the number one three-point team in NBA history. Now, folks will say, that's great, but it's the playoffs. At some point, you need to buckle down and get to the rim. I'll just say this. They'll hit 30 one night and blow them out of the gym. This is what they are. Okay. You're not going to beat them four times. Yes, they'll learn from it. But when you have Derek White and Drew Holiday and Peyton Pritchard and Al Horford and Tatum, and like, you shoot threes. And mid-range jumpers suck. You know who hates mid-range jumpers? Just about every coach. Because if you go 3 feet out deeper, they're worth 1.5 points. So three-pointers are the thing. I still don't think the Knicks win this series. That was a hell of an effort. Denver last night on the road in Oklahoma City, they just had a game 7 they survived and scratched and clawed, right, to get to the next round. Oklahoma City's been sitting around for 6 days. Another show, ESPN, I'm watching all those guys. They're like, dude, this is a 30-point blowout. This is just Denver screwed, 30-point blowout, blah, blah, blah. Here's their head coach. Oh, yeah, they won at the buzzer. Aaron Gordon with 3 seconds left. They come all the way back on the road, 11-point underdog. What'd you think, coach?
So important. And that's what I was talking about, the mentality. You know, would have been really easy for me to come up here and say, we just played Saturday in a game 7, and we have all the excuses in the world, and we're so tired. And no, it's the playoffs. You only get a certain amount of chances out here. And you're right. Every time they got up, I never sensed, well, you know, we can play in 2 days. We can still even this thing up 1-1. No, this is our opportunity tonight. Live in the present in these moments. Now, these games are, they're so hard to win. And when you put yourself in a situation like this, like we did, don't waste your energy.
They fired their coach and their GM, who have won a championship. They fired him with like 3 weeks left in the season. 3 weeks left in the season, or whatever that was. And David Adam and beat eight, was it the Clippers? That a lot of folks thought could go to the finals with, you know, Kawhi playing the way he was, and obviously James Harden and company. But anyway, a huge win. What does it mean long term? I don't know. The Cavs are one of the greatest teams of all time. They lost game one. The Celtics are the NBA champs. They're going to run through the – they lost game one. And last night, Oklahoma City, the best record in the NBA, they lost game one. Gambling is hard.
Speaking of –
gambling is hard.
Speaking of, tonight, you got the Pacers at Cleveland.
Yeah.
You want to guess the line?
9.
8.5.
Yeah.
Good job. And then Golden State at Minnesota, that's game one.
Minnesota by 4.
6.5.
Yeah.
Did you hear Ant-Man talk about, I can't wait, he said years ago, I want to play the Warriors. I want to play the Warriors.
Yeah.
Because Draymond Green, I want to go, like.
He wants a piece of that.
Yeah.
Did you see his victory lap when he went around the stadium?
Oh, yeah.
So Drew showed that. Was he just taunting Laker
fans? He completely
fans?
Went around the Lakers. He was high-fiving. He was like, he dropped the F-bomb about 400 times to all the, he was feeling it.
What did
it.
You think of that?
I like I mean, him. What's wrong with me? I think he's funny and great.
No,
and
I mean, I like him, too. He's also a Georgia kid. But do you really need to walk around that arena and start talking smack to Laker fans? I mean, is that really worth your time? I don't know. Different breed,
though.
I'm
so sick of hearing about the Lakers. I'm so glad they're out of
it. Do you
hear
Charles Barkley saying, I can't believe I got to work at ESPN next year? Because all they talk about is the Lakers, those idiots. And someone's like, say it, Chuck. You know, when he gets going, Shaq's like, you say it, Chuck. Yeah. And he's like, I'll say it, Kendrick Perkins, right? Just calls him right out. Dude, like, they don't care. They're going to ESPN because that deal, they don't care. He's mad at the world. He's mad at TNT. He's mad at his bosses over there. He's mad that he's going to ESPN. They're going to be a licensed deal, but they're off at TNT forever.
Like, I couldn't help think of you last week. I should have sent you this article because the cover of ESPN NBA was a picture where somebody had drawn, I don't know, 20 players changing to the guard with the LeBrons and the Draymonds and the Steph Curry, and that this young crop of kids, Ant-Man included.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA is very, very healthy. Think about the ratings that are up.
And I think about Bobby, like the young people are into it.
Yeah, they watch TikTok. They don't watch full games. I say to my kids, like, dude, it's the fourth quarter. There's 7 minutes left. It's the Pacers and, like, Cavs. What do you have to do that's better than this? And it's just like, yeah, I'll watch it on TikTok tomorrow. It's like, now you've hurt me. Now you've hurt me.
That's interesting.
Why won't you just sit here? He's been to 3 or 4 Braves games. I don't know how much he's even watching when we're at those games. He's with his 12 buddies, you know.
They eating everything
inside?
Oh,
my God, dude. It's Apple Cash. Send me some Apple Cash. Send me more Apple Cash. So
must have done a whole inning, and you Braves fans out there, with the cotton candy, the blue cotton candy.
Yeah.
So from the booth they had. Did you guys see that? It was TV brilliance.
You see that, Bo?
And they kept going back to these kids and their whole faces. And they're Tom Glavine's like, what is the point of cotton candy? You know, somebody in the booth.
I know. I'm not a cotton candy guy at all.
Are you covering your face. When you were little, was there any, and you were just sticky, and it was so good. And
it just gives me
anxiety. Glavin's like, let me know how that is at 11:30 tonight when your kids are running.
Gives me anxiety watching. You know what I mean?
I'm just amazed. First of all, the Apple Cash. How does that even work? You're like, here's $100. Go buy what you want. How does that all work with your kids out there?
Well, like if you're not right next to them, yeah. Like, You have to buy me dinner tonight, Dad. So not that a 13-year-old has money to begin with. And he's just like, I'm watching like on another TV. I'm watching the NBA and the baseball at the same time. And he's just like, I need some Apple Cash. So you got to get in your Apple and you just send it off to his little account.
Can I say how much? You drop him a 20 or a 50?
Yeah, $23.
Okay.
To eat at the ballpark.
You basically have the ability to text message your kids money these days.
Well, this is great.
And they'll have
to take full advantage of it.
I bet they do.
Well, I mean,
good for them.
Yeah, it's just instead of handing them cash, it's a cashless stadium also.
Yes.
Truist? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, handing them cash ain't gonna work, right? They ain't gonna work.
There's actually such thing as a reverse ATM machine. You put your money in. Out comes a
little card.
Apple Cash, a voucher.
Yeah, a Truist Park like gift card you can use anywhere.
Wow,
so smart.
An ATM reverse.
Yeah, that's some people that like my parents
the machine
never.
Our money.
I know. I always think about obviously my sweet mom to go into stores and having to deal with an ATM. Like she only cash and writes a check. I mean, that's,
still
they think that ATM machine is a space odyssey there.
Dude, that's like 25 years ago. That was now the Apple Cash thing. She wouldn't even know what to do with that. All right, when we come back, things I learned over the weekend. Why the Kentucky Derby is hot? We'll have to replay my dark moment from last night. If you hadn't heard, Sandra and the team not happy. We'll tell you why and lots more on the way. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Ten 26 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rusty Manziel joined us earlier. By now, I'm sure any Georgia fan knows Jared Curtis in the mix at Georgia. Obviously, the highest recruited player, highest recruited quarterback out there. I was in Oregon. Dan Lanning, Kirby Smart showdown, and Kirby's the winner on that. It sounds like it's a similar showdown for. Is it Jackson Cantwell, the offensive lineman, down to Oregon, Miami, Georgia? Anybody else in the mix?
Missouri, Miami, did you mention?
Yeah, I mentioned Miami.
I didn't know that Drew Rosenhaus was in the mix. So,
yeah, I mean.
6'7" 300 pounds. Both parents are Olympians.
Jeez Louise, dude, you talk about good genes.
Woo!
Kid's the number one shot putter. He's going to be in the Olympic team, Rusty said. Mm-hmm. Damn, it's good to have those genes, man. Right?
6'7"
Robert Shapiro didn't give me that kind of juice. I can promise you that. Beautiful Valia, who, you know, some kids are getting those 6'8" Matt Harpering jeans, him and his super tall wife and those crazy kids. My parents gave me the, the MoMA Museum of Modern Art gene. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they exposed me to. Mm-hmm. You couldn't expose me to be like 6'4". And just, you know, a little bit more athletic.
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
Yeah, says every.
You did get the XY chromosomes for burgers, though, so that's a gift.
Yeah, I taught my kids how to eat, how to be bougie, how to go to navigate a menu. Right, some guys know how to navigate like a blitzing linebacker off the weak side, because your dad taught watch film with you. What I taught my kids how to navigate a menu. Right?
There's a gift there. Don't underestimate the power of
that. You know, when you walk into a Sunday all-you-can-eat buffet, kids, the thing you have to understand is they're trying to get you to load up on the carbs. They're trying to get you. Stay away from the croissants and the bagels, the toast, the bialys, the muffins. You go right for the seafood. That's where they want to get you. You know, they don't want you in the proteins. You go right to the proteins. You get the shrimp, you get the crab legs. You go to the carving station. You go there first. If you do the bread early, you burn yourself out. We're spending $43.95 here. Let's be smart, you know?
So true.
That's the kind of stuff that, like, it's just invaluable.
Are you a smart Fogo de Chao goer? Any of those Brazilian?
I haven't been there in a long time, but yeah. I mean, I the salad bar at Fogo de Chao is there for a reason. Get you to eat it and eat less of, like, the 53 meats that are, you know, much more expensive. But they make that salad bar
so
sexy,
too.
Right?
Yes. Mm.
That's just a solid brand. But again, that's what I learned. That's what I learned. It was a dramatic night at the ballpark for a number of reasons. I couldn't find my wallet. According to my Apple tag, it's at
still
security
there.
I'm an idiot. And then some would argue I'm even a bigger idiot because.
Well, I'm watching AJ Smith-Shawver toss a no-no. We're in the seventh inning or so. And then
Sixth.
I saw it in the seventh. So I'm going to go there. This is what I heard on my telephone.
We're at section 145 on left field. We got here, the ladies.
Hello.
We got a no-hitter going at Truist Park. A no-hitter. We're 9 outs away.
Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I couldn't believe what was happening. So me and the husband aren't moving off the couch. I'm not texting anybody. The broadcast isn't saying a word. Steak, be better than that. You know better than that. All the years I've been with you, that is such a curse.
I mean, we got through the next inning.
Doesn't matter. I don't know where you heard that.
Well, I just feel like
don't do it again, please.
Meanwhile, the Kentucky Derby continues to put up record numbers for moments like this.
Sovereignty has taken the lead. Journalism is second toward the good side. Baez is third, but it will be Sovereignty to rule the Kentucky Derby. Journalism and Baez were next. Final Gambit was fourth. The final time was 202.31 seconds.
So if you listen to Brian Lewis, who was our Derby expert on Friday, he did not pick Sovereignty to win. I forget who he had. But he did say, here are your four horses, 8, 9, 16, and 18. Put them in an exacta box. Any combination come in, you'll win. He also said bet, win, place, and show. So I had Sovereignty out of the 18 at the Derby party I was at. Journalism comes in at second.
Second, yeah.
But why do you think the Derby is just so hot right now?
I was going to have you tell me. It was up, it peaked at nearly 22 million right at when they're running. But I just, you know, from 2 o'clock on, it was Super Bowl-esque. They treated it like, but, the Kentucky Derby is 2 minutes, so I can't really understand it.
I mean, they have, like, it's tapped into this need for a sporting event this time of year. Also, the pomp and circumstance of the party at the Derby and at people's homes. I was at some crazy bougie party that we were invited to at some airplane hangar at Peachtree DeKalb where they, some airplane
that was
folks wanted to show off.
Fancy.
I said it. I mean, I'm very blessed I got invited to this. But I mean, the whole, people were so excited to be dressed up. Drinking mint juleps. It's the whole tradition. I got to tell you, between us owning Augusta and the Masters, the number one golf tournament in the world, and then we own the South owns horse racing, the Belmont and the Preakness don't even hold a candle. Nobody's sitting home doing a Preakness party or Belmont. It's not must-see TV to see the final round of the Open, which is, of course, formerly the British Open or even the Players' Championship. We've got it down with the Derby and the Masters.
So true.
So
good job.
Yeah.
Well, during the Derby, if you guys were watching and I raised my hand, I didn't turn it on till about 3:30 or 4. I just kind of wanted to see where they were at. But I look up and there is no Mike Tirico. Omid Fahid was there running point and he kept referencing Mike Tirico wasn't feeling well. Well, we find out Mike Tirico has a nut allergy.
I ate something that had a nut in it and had a nut allergy, causes your throat and your nose and all that stuff to kind of clog up and swell, and it affects your breathing a little bit. So wasn't feeling well, couldn't go on with the show, took an EpiPen shot, got treated by EMTs, felt better as about 8, 9 o'clock came along, but it takes a while for it to get out of your system. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness Ahmed Farid, who's great, was there and filled in more than ably. The show went on without us.
Can you imagine? That must be so scary for people. And
I mean, he missed a 6-hour broadcast, like you said. Yeah. He was out of it early. You talk about a professional journalist. The dude who filled in, like you said.
He was great, Omid Farid. And Mike Tirico could not have been kinder or nicer, and they gave much respect. I don't have anybody in my life that has a nut allergy. Do you? Like, that is super scary to have.
No.
I wonder
and
what
the fact
ate.
That he's been that careful about it. We also learned TV is so friggin' hot right now, by the way. That new show with John Hamm.
Your Friends and Neighbors.
Good. Last of Us has been phenomenal. I'm listening to numerous podcasts on that. Hacks is back for season 3.
It took a minute, Hacks. I don't know what y'all were doing. Finally kicked in.
I don't know. I love everything about that show in general. Two movies out right now that are crushing, right?
Thunderbolts.
Right? And then what's the one that is absolutely
Sinners.
Killing? Sinners is bringing people back to the movies in droves.
Yeah, and this multiple times.
This is like the male version of Oppenheim and Barbie. This is like the alpha male version of that, where these two movies are killing it as well. So you watch Mobland right now?
Mm-mm.
You know about Mobland? Pierce Brosnan plays a sick cast. I'm going to start watching that. Just a lot
There's
great...
a new show Tina Fey is in, Four Seasons.
Yes,
it's a remake, Steve Carell. I don't know that it's for everybody. Husband didn't like it.
I know,
it's,
but you know me. I'm like a
You're like
I'm
me,
like
a
woman.
A girl. You'll like it.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's Things I Love. We'll come back, play some Three Strikes, get you ready for Chris Sale tonight. Sports Radio 92.9. With the big dub last night, obviously H.A. Smith Sarver had his stuff going, no doubt about it. Fastball was popping. You heard the broadcast. Tom Glavine back on there. Boy, we are spoiled over the years with the amount of guys that have done games for us. John Smoltz, Jeff Francoeur, Tom Glavine, Chipper on occasion doesn't do a lot, and then sometimes you get them all in there, right?
So good, yeah.
You know what I was thinking about when I was watching the Red Sox documentary, which is pretty fascinating. I think it's called The Clubhouse. You said your husband enjoyed
Larry
it,
loves
right?
it, yeah.
Fascinating, really, really behind-the-scenes look at it. Just an average team. It was an 81-81 team. And Alex Cora, when he got fired, who was right in the heart of the Houston Astros scandal.
Right.
I mean, he was considered, if not the ringleader, the mastermind or whatever. Well, I guess they're banging on the trash can to know what the calls were.
Right.
You were stealing the signs from center field. It was somewhat elaborate, but not that elaborate. Alex Cora's like, yeah, it became addictive. It got away from us. We didn't think much of it at first, but then we couldn't stop doing it.
Wow.
He said.
So they addressed it big time.
Well, it just showed his press conference. Like, you know, he sat for one full year. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox put a guy in there, and they couldn't get him out of there fast enough, and burnt Alex Cora right back in there. I think he sat a year. It's like Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back and was like, yeah, I mean, we did it. It's a regret. I deserve my penalty. It's not something I'm proud of. It's time for me to move on. It was a dark moment in my life. Brian McCann has never talked about it. He won't ever admit it. He's disappeared from the public eye. I believe he used to be on radio and TV a lot. He does that one game a year with the boys, right?
Mm-hmm. He's one of the assistant coaches for Mark DeRosa for
right,
Team USA.
Which I love that.
Yeah, me too.
But you do notice that ever since that scandal that he was in the middle of also, right?
Yeah.
That
he's on the team. We don't know what he did. We're assuming he's – yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was – yeah. They all were part of it. They all were culpable, right?
And yeah.
Was he more so? He certainly wasn't less so. And from what I heard, and I'm not as close to Brian, maybe you're closer than I am.
I haven't talked to him in years.
Yeah, that he, mm-hmm. because of that, I think he took it so hard that he had the most impeccable reputation. And I just was thinking, like, dude, nobody cares. Like, just apologize for it. Say we never should have done it. Maybe you'll get booed at certain stadiums if you're in there. I don't know what you're getting booed for. You're not a player. Maybe if you're a broadcaster, maybe say something to you or whatever it is. Like, that dude literally looked at the camera and goes, oh, yeah, we did it. Yes, we were wrong. We couldn't stop doing it. We had an advantage. Like, didn't even, there's no, it's almost like Clemens, who's not in the Hall of Fame. You see Clemens' kid hit a home run the other day?
Oh, yeah, and he was in the stands.
Yeah. Like, Clemens won't, Bonds won't, McGuire, like, just admit it. Like, what do you, like, we all know. Just like with the Astros, you're busted. You're cold busted. So, you know, why hang on to it? I was thinking that because the only time you hear from Brian McCann is one of those Chipper, Glavine, Francoeur, McCann games, right?
Yeah.
He's done it a couple of years.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm sure they're going to do it again. I hope they are.
Yeah, but I...
You're right. No, I haven't even thought about that for so long.
Well, yeah, because he after that broke, and they were so universally hated, you know, everybody on that team, and McCann was right in the middle of it when they won the World Series. So here's our three strikes question. Something you are superstitious about in your life. Something you are clearly superstitious about in your life. The sport or sporting event that has lost interest in over the years. We see that the Derby. Did you say 22 million by race time?
Yeah. 21.8.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a number, man. They know what they're doing. They build us up all day. By the time that sucker's ready to roll, you're just, you know, a lot of drunken people stumbling in front of a TV waiting for that thing to have some kind of, you know, moment.
You're not kidding.
And your ideal weather city. What is the weather in your, what is the weather you're looking for in an ideal weather city? You know, for some folks, I don't know, maybe San Diego and LA doesn't have the winter at all, right?
Yeah, I like the seasons. Don't you like to have
a I like, Atlanta's real close because we get about a 2 month winter, which I like. You know, me I look too. So good in sweaters. I'm so,
girl, you
know,
sure
I'm so
do.
Handsome. Mm-hmm. I put on a nice scarf from Miller Brothers, you know. I want my full ensemble to be on display. So, but then there are folks who say, give me Miami. You know, I am not interested in any change of seasons. I don't think anybody ever said Louisiana, right? Right, Bo?
Sorry, Bo. They did.
Louisiana. No, that is not. We tried to explain to Nola, like, Nola, it's not glamorous when you walk through campus at Tulane mm-hmm. in August when you got to walk to class and it's 100 degrees with 80%. Like, you know, I don't know whatever girls do to, you know, but you're going to be sweating.
Yeah.
Just get ready for, you know, it's not about fashion. It's about comfort, Nola. Right? I'm trying to, you know, it's important.
Short sleeves. Go for the short sleeves. When does she leave?
Oh, I didn't tell you this. Did you see it online? She made the Tulane dance team.
Oh, my goodness. So yay. Gosh, that's major.
So she has never, you know, she's danced 5 hours a day for, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day for 5 or 6 years, but never been in the sports part of it, right?
Right.
So now she's on the Tulane dance team, so she'll be at every football and basketball game. So she has to get there early to meet the team. So it's just
that's fantastic.
Big
congrats.
Enough deal that it's cool.
That's awesome.
But it's not a big enough deal that it's your whole life. Like if you're at Alabama
great
or
hobby.
Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somewhere in between that. Get a little bit of scholarship money and everything else. I said, how do you feel about this is the difference of her and Sophie. So third question is your ideal weather city. 404-726-0929.
What was the second question?
The sport or sporting event you've lost interest in over the years. Your ideal weather city and something you are superstitious about in life. So I said to her, how do you feel about being on the field for football games now and being on the sideline? She said, Daddy, there's nothing worse than standing in the stands for 4 hours. And I'd look on the field and say, I wish I was one of those girls. At least I'd be dancing instead of sitting here. I don't know. I don't like football, really. I don't like having to tailgate for hours.
Aww.
She talked about going, sorry, to her high school games. And she's just like, I hated them so much, right?
Aww,
and she's just being like honest. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I'm not a big football fan. And I have to stand. We don't even get to sit. And then we got to do the whole pregame. Like, in the South, it was like, so you know you're not going to be able to tailgate? She's like, check. I go, you're not going to be able to be at the games as a fan? Check. I go, you're not going to be able to? She's like, yes, all the things I want to try to get out of. Not that she doesn't want to party, which she does, but the 8 hours of football when she's not into football is like, that's too, I just want to go to a Darty and dress cute, you know, and have a live band or whatever.
That.
So, like, she was being honest.
And literally halftime at Tulane football, she's going to be, is tremendous.
And the sidelines.
Oh, you must be so proud. That's really
proud.
Amazing.
And then they're in a bunch of Mardi Gras parades. So, yeah, because, you know, the Tulane dancers are in Mardi Gras parades. And the girls are like, it's a good break because it's the biggest bender ever. It's a 6-day thing. And you can go with, I got to dance in a parade tomorrow. So you get a night off in between Mardi Gras. That was the strategy. Like, you don't have to go every night because now one night you get to say, we're in Endymion tomorrow, one of the parades.
Can you imagine when little Bobby Shapiro is ready to go to college and the fraternity life and everything that's going to happen?
Yeah.
We got a little bit, four years
or so. I know.
Very exciting.
First day of high school is next year for him. So something you're really old.
I can't believe it.
Something you are superstitious about in life, the sport or sporting event you've lost interest in over the years, your ideal weather. City, 404-726-0929.
He's getting the phones, too. So,
yes, and I know what he's... They get to do one road game also. They travel with the team. I'm hoping it's Ole Miss Tulane. You know, Tulane's traveling to Oxford second or third week of the year. I've never been to the Grove. I've been down here for 30 years. I've never been to the Grove. You know, that's a shunda. That's a Yiddish term for that's a problem. That's a mistake. That's a shunda. Shunda for the kinda. That's a big mistake. So I'm hoping that's the game. Either way, Tulane Ole Miss.
We got to fix the shunda for the kinda.
Yes,
we have to fix it.
Easier ticket to get than other Ole Miss games this year, right?
Yes, I would think. Yes.
So I'm looking forward one way or another. It'd be even better if she's on the sideline, right? So I am very blessed.
I'm so excited for
them. I meant to tell you that, but I hadn't seen you. And then you were yelling at me last night, and I was like, I don't know that we need to get into that, right? You're so angry.
Oh, the shunda for the kinda. Can't take
404-726-0929. Let's fill the phone lines up. I don't see enough calls. That hurts my feelings. Grant in Flowery Branch, what's something you're definitely superstitious about in life?
Announcer jinxes.
Yeah.
The sport or sporting event you've lost interest in or lost some interest in over the years?
The NBA Finals.
And your ideal weather city?
Nashville, Tennessee.
A lot of folks would say Aspen, Colorado, because if they're outdoorsy,
yeah.
Summers are great there, right?
I've never been in the summer, but even the winter was ridiculous because it was so warm and beautiful.
Market-
Grant is right. 15 seconds. I hate it when they go, little Johnny hasn't missed a kick since 19, you know, and then he misses it. Like, yeah. I don't like that. Just wait till afterwards.
I think people are just too sensitive. Sometimes you're just calling a game. I'm sorry that it didn't work out. He's made 37 consecutive free throws. Okay, are you not supposed to mention that? I'm a journalist.
Journalist?
Like, oh, he just jinxed you. Okay, dude. No, actually, what he did was his job. Something you are superstitious about in life, Marcus.
What do you whenever you get a tattoo of your significant other's name, it never works out. Don't do it, y'all.
The sport
That's good advice.
Sporting event you've lost interest in over the years.
I used to be really into stock car racing. I watched old stuff on my dad whenever it wasn't just turn left. So stock car racing.
Your ideal weather city.
Asheville, North Carolina. Lots of bars, lots of walking, lots of beautiful weather.
That's a great call. Asheville. Mm-hmm.
Any city where we just get it a little cooler in the summertime, right?
Because when you drive up to
Highlands,
it just feels like another
a
world.
A little bit, yeah. They give you 10 degrees. Cashers, Highlands, North Carolina in general. All right, let's get Jason and Marietta. Hey, Jason, something you are definitely superstitious about in life.
Well, this does have to do with sports. Georgia season ticket holder, when we win, same outfit, roll with it until they lose.
So when you had back-to-back undefeated seasons, what was going on? You're in the same outfit for
same. I had to wear flip-flops and shorts in Indianapolis when it was 8 degrees.
Oh, my God. Now, that is something right there.
That's great.
The sport or sporting event you've lost interest in over the years?
I guess it's a sporting event. The NBA draft used to be such a big deal, seeing where everybody went, and I could not care less anymore just about the entire thing. The players, you know, no college guys.
You don't even root for Anthony Edwards even?
I mean, Anthony's kind of turned into a jackass, so it's getting harder by the day to root for him.
Your ideal weather city.
Throw in another one for Asheville. That place, you know, you got the nice summers. You got a little bit, just enough snow in the wintertime. You got a beautiful spring, so Asheville, North Carolina.
Thank you, my friend.
That's a good one.
Well, there you go.
Good stuff, Stakey.
Thank you, Sandy. We're back tomorrow. Bo's back at Truist tonight with Chris Sale. Need a dub. Make it 3 in a row, right? Got some NBA to talk about. Whatever. We'll get all kinds of things up our sleeve. All right. Thanks for making the Steakhouse Party Day. Bye.